Today, Rosh Chodesh Elul, third day of the week, we are going to begin the 18th chapter of the book of Devarim. Kapitel Yudches, Le'yia la'koyanim halavim, the Kohanim, and the Levites, or as Rashi will tell us, the Kohanim who are from the tribe of Levi, they will not have chelek v'nachala im Yisrael. They will not have a portion with the rest of the Jewish people. But rather, meaning they will not inherit the land. Instead, Ishei Hashem v'nachalosei. It is the fire offering of God, that is God's inheritance, Yecheilun, that they will eat. Rashi tells us, this idea of Kol Shevet Levi, Bein Tmimim, Bein Bale Mumin, whether they actually do serve in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning they are in perfect shape, or if they're blemished, it makes no difference. Here, it's not something which is contingent on being a member of the tribe, here on being actively involved in serving in the Beis HaMikdash, but here it's being a member of the tribe. Chelek means bibiza, in the spoils of war. But Nachala refers to what we call Ba'aretz, a portion of the land of Israel. Isha Hashem, the fire offerings of God, says Rashi, Mikodesh HaMikdash, this refers to the sacred artifacts, the material, well not artifacts, but the sacred material, meaning the offerings that come from the Mikdash, or according to another version, Kodesh HaKadoshim, the special offerings which the Kohanim alone are allowed to eat. V'nachalosei, and his inheritance, Elu Rashi says Kodesh HaGvul. This refers to the sacred things which are not connected to the Beis HaMikdash, but rather to the lines of scrimmage or the border of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. Namely, we refer here now to Trumais, Umaisais. We refer to the special gift known as Truma, as well as the tithes which are given to the Kohanim and to the Levites. So that nachala, that inheritance, will be theirs. Aval nachala gemura, however, an actual inheritance, meaning getting a piece of land, lo yilei bekerev echov. This you will not have amongst his people. And that's why in verse 2 we say, v'nachala, on one hand we finish off verse 1 by saying, nachala im Yisrael isha Hashem v'nachalosai yeichelon. They're going to eat the fire offerings of Hashem, and they eat nachalosai. They eat his inheritance. However, in verse 2, we go on to say, but inheritance he will not have bekerev echav amongst his brothers. On the contrary, he does not get an inheritance, but Hashem hu nachalosai. God is his inheritance, kasha diberloi, as he has spoken to him. So here we have a verse that says that nachalosai, the Hashem's inheritance, yecheilun they eat. And then we have v'nachala lo yilo. He doesn't have an inheritance. So Rashi explained v'nachala, the nachala, the inheritance that he has that refers to the gifts that come from the other bnei Yisrael, the truma, the ma'aser, the tithes, and the truma. However, v'nachala gemura, but an actual piece of land lo yilo b'kerev echav, he will not have amongst the Jewish people. Rashi goes on to say u'b'sifri, in the sifri darshu v'nachala lo yilo zunachalas sheor. This refers to the nachala of the rest of Israel, the Kedav Echov. Why does the Torah emphasize this a second time? Zoi Nachlas Chamisha. This refers to the Nachala of the five. Now, there's a whole long Rashi over here in a discussion what exactly this means. It seems, at least one possibility, what Rashi is trying to say here, is that Yehoshua himself made sure that a portion of the Jewish people would get their actual inheritance. And that was five tribes. Yehoshua came across the land of Israel. He came across, left 2.5 tribes behind in Eved HaYarden, that they had received their inheritance from Moshe Rabbeinu. Five tribes were given their inheritance from Yehoshua, and that leaves us with another 7 tribes, and these 7 tribes were taken care of at a later time. It took Sheva Shecholku, 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing the land. Eventually, everybody got a piece of land. Everybody got a portion, with the exception of the tribe of Levi. Okay, so what will the Levites be eating? We're not going to finish this Rashi since it's short on time today. We're going to go forward into the next verse. This will be the ordinance of the Kohanim, me'esam, from the people, me'ezevche hazevach, from those who are going to slaughter animals as is permitted, imshoyer, imseh, be it an ox or a small animal, like a sheep. V'nosan la'koyen, you'll give to the Kohen hazroya, the foreleg, l'chayayim, the jaw, v'hakeva, and the stomach. So this gift, this cut of meat, always goes to the Kohanim. Now, there's much to be said about this. and as I said, very little time. I will share with you number one. Rashi quotes the Sifri, and he says this corresponds to Pinchas, who was the most heroic of Kohanim, who saves the entire Jewish people with his act of vigilante bravery, which was the right thing to do, but could not be legislated. And what did Pinchas do? It says, Vayikach roimach biyodeh. He took a spear in his hand. Well, that's your first thing. It says Zroya, the foreleg. The foreleg represents the hand. The next thing is Tfila. It says, Vayamait Pinchas vayipalel. This is how the book of Tehillim, King David, describes Pinchas' action, that he prayed. So this is, what do you pray with? You pray with your mouth. So that's the jaw. And finally, the keva, the lower stomach, that corresponds, ha'ishal kubasa, where Pinchas eliminated these great sinners. Rambam and Meir Nevuchim has a much simpler approach to it. He says, if you look at it, the jaw is the first part of the body. That's the head sticks out, the jaw juts out, so that's rachis, that's the first. He says the foreleg, that's the first part of the animal as it forages around. The first part it puts forward is its foreleg. And he says the ma'ayim, the stomach, that's the first place where the things ingested begin their entrance into the body. That's where it comes from. Okay, there are other reasons, but this is the basic idea that we hear about the cut of meat, which is a gift to the Kohanim. And now, verse 4 we say, Reishis digoncha, the first of your grain, tiroishcha, of your wine vats, yitzarecha, that which comes from your oil press, Reishis geiz tzoincha, and the first thing, shearings, titen loy, you will give to him. Let's take a look in Rashi. Rashi says, Reishis digoncha, the first of your grain, what does this mean? He says, Zoi truma, this refers to the truma, the special gift, which is taken a portion of the grains that's harvested. Rashi says, however, v'lei peirash shir. It doesn't say how much. It doesn't say some. He gives some of the grain. It's true, Rashi says. The Torah doesn't actually give a percentage. Aval Rabbi say no, but our rabbis, they did give a percentage. Nosnu bashir. They said, ayin yofa, if somebody's generous, nosin echad me'arboim. You give 1/40. Ayin ra, somebody is not generous. Well, then in that case, you give echad me'chamishim. You give 1/60. And then, ayin beininis, if somebody is like kind of not super generous, but not terribly stingy or chintzy either. So then you give echad mechamishim, 1/50, also known in English as 2%. V'samchu, and even though the truma does not have a percentage, an amount that is legislated, that's specified by virtue of the Torah itself, nonetheless, v'samchu al hamikra. They base this on the idea of the of verse itself, because there's a pasuk in the verse of book of Ezekiel that says over there that we should not give less than a 60th. Shenemar, it's written, v'shashisem ha'efa mechoymer hasa'irim. In other words, Ezekiel says, give at least a 60th of an efa, which is a measure. Truma of a choymer is a large measure of produce. It's 30 saw is a choymer, so it's large, a measure, large amount. Shishi saw efa, a 60th of an efa is a chatzi saw, is a half a saw, because we have 30 saw in a choymer, so shishi saw efa is a half a saw. In kishata noisin chatzi saw lekur, when you give a half a saw per kur, which is this large amount, this big tiff of grain, 30 saw. So when you do that, harei echad mishishim, you get 1/60. Shakur shleishim sawin. Now Rashi goes on, v'reishis geiz tzeincha, firstling shearings of the sheep. Kishata geizes tzeincha b'chol shana, when you will shear your sheep each and every single year, ten mimenu reishis lekohen, the firstling shearings have to be given to the kohen. V'loi pirush b'shir. Rashi says again, we have no amount that's given over here. But Rabbi Seinu Nosna Bashir, our rabbis did give an appropriate percentage, Echad Mishishim, 1/60. V'kama Tzoin, and how many sheep do we have to talk about to give this gift? Says Rashi, Chayavis, Bereshis Hagez, if you have one sheep, you're not obligated to give the firstling of shearing. Chomesh Rechelis, 5 lambs. Shenemar, as it says, and here Rashi draws on the book of Samuel, Shmuel Aleph, it says, V'chomesh tzoin asuyes, that the special gift which Avigail sent to David included 5 sheep. And since it included 5 sheep, which meant there were 5 sheep, asuyes means ready or prepared, they were ready to eat, a ready-made meal. She didn't send him meat that needed to be cooked, but rather was takeout food, ready to eat. And since over there we talk about the idea of five different lambs. So we get this idea that five is the amount. Okay, that's one approach. And Rabbi Akiva says, Reish's gaze is plural, that's shtayin, that's two. Tzoincha, sheep in Hebrew, plural. That gives you arba, that's four. Titen loy, give him, that's another one. So you have two, one plurality, a second plurality in the verbiage, and then you have titen loy, give him, hare chamesh, that gives you five. So here's the big question. The Chumash does not talk about percentages. The Torah does not talk about how much grain. The Torah does not talk about how much wine. The Torah does not talk about how much oil. The Torah does not talk about how much wool. Why did Rashi have to talk about it? What relevance does it have? You want to know what the halacha is? Open the book of Mishnah, open the Gemara, you learn the halacha. Rashi is just explaining things. Like the verse here says that the Kohen is not going to get a portion of the land of Israel. Instead, the Kohen is going to receive a gift from the people. The people will tithe. The people will give gifts. And these gifts and these tithes, that's what's going to enable the Kohanim to function. Okay, that's fine. Like, what is the issue here? Rashi doesn't just comment. Rashi's like bringing stuff from all over the place. He says it could be a 50th, it could be a 40th, it could be a 60th. Well, we have a verse in Ezekiel, and then he starts talking about the sheep. Five sheep, how do we get it? Here he's talking about Avigail sending David a takeout meal, how many sheep were prepared. Or maybe Rabbi Akiva says, if you look, you say, Tzoncha, and Zlarabais. What's left to do with anything? I mean, Rashi doesn't go and tell us all kinds of details. There are all kinds of fascinating details which are always somehow relevant to the verse, but never have to do with Pshut Lashon Mikra. And for some reason, Rashi thought it was really important to talk about this, and that is our point of contention for this morning. So, if you go to the Birurim book now, on page Reish Chav Dalet, Simen Dalet, here we have a quotation of this very Rashi, and the Rebbe asks these exact questions. Number one, he says, the verse does not specify a percentage. Why does Rashi have to say, Rabbi Seinu, Nasnu Bashir? Our rabbis did apply. So what? The rabbis applied. It's very nice. When I want to know what to do, I'll look in the Shulchan Aruch. I'll find out how much do I have to give. Look in the scripture. I don't see that. Rashi doesn't tell us when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin that the tefillin are black or that they're square or that they have straps. He doesn't tell you how you tie the tefillin. It's your business. In the Torah it says, Ukshartim lo'ot al yadecha. What does he deal with? What a tatofot. What does that mean in Hebrew? What is a tatofot? There's no other word like it in Hebrew. So he explains, tait and kat and pat ba'afriki. He explains it means multiple compartments. So now I know what tatofot means. What do tefillin look like? There's an oral tradition. You want to know what tefillin look like? Look in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah in Perikat Tchelis, and I will tell you what the tefillin look like. I'm like, it's not relevant here. It's not how Rashi works. Number two. If Rashi does find a reason that he must tell you, Lefarash Hashir, to tell her about the percentage that the Chum gave for the mitzvah of Truma, then why does he do it only in Parashas Shreifdim? Here he woke up on the fifth section of Chumash Dvarim, now he's talking about this. Why doesn't he tell it to us in Pama Kedemis? Why doesn't he tell it to us when this mitzvah is first mentioned? The mitzvah is mentioned in an entire book earlier. It's mentioned in the book of Vayikra, a book earlier, Parashas Korach. Korach leads a rebellion against the Kohanim, and Hashem responds and says, here's the gifts that go to the Kohanim. What's the point? Well, simple. When you attack an institution and the institution is successfully defended, it comes out stronger, not weaker. So here, the institution of Kohuna, of the priesthood, was attacked by Korach. We emerged stronger, not the same, and certainly not weaker. So Hashem says, you're starting up with my Kohanim? Let me tell you about the Kohanim. When they're going to come to the land of Israel, they're going to receive all kinds of gifts. Okay, very nice. So we know about this already. This is not the first time we read about it in Deuteronomy and Parshas Shoftim. We read about this in Parshas Korach. Guess what Rashi says there? Nothing. He doesn't say a word. Truma, Meiser, Reishis Hageiz, nothing. Number three. Why doesn't Rashi explain the shear for other things? There's, for example, the mitzvah of Peah. The edge of the field has to be left for the poor people. How much is an edge? Is it one stalk? Is it 5%, 2%, 10%? How much has to be left for the poor? There's a mitzvah. The farmer harvests in Israel, he has to leave the edge of his field. How much? Rashi doesn't say. How about Bikurim? How about the first thing, fruits that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash? Do you bring like one pomegranate from 500? Is there a percentage? Rashi's mum says nothing. Yeshleimer, the Rebbe says, There's a reason, something that compels Rashi to explain the percentages that the Chachamim gave Dafke, specifically here. Why? Because there's a question that suddenly has been provoked. And the question is, mitzvahs hatrum of Ereshis HaGeiz, the mitzvahs that speak about these firstling fruits, the mitzvahs that speak about the idea of the first shearings, mayfiyos kan behemshech ledivrei hakosov hakoydim lachin. As we've learned so many times, if you want to understand Rashi, you have to take a look at the bigger picture. Rashi will explain to you the syntax and the context. This does not appear in isolation. It's not a verse oscillating in the middle of nowhere. It's a verse that follows other verses. What do the other verses say? The other verses, the verses that introduced this entire selection of verses, this whole collection of teachings is, that the Kohanim will come from the tribe of Levi. In fact, the whole tribe of Levi will not have a chelik v'nachla. They do not receive a portion of the land of Israel. Where do they live? They have special municipal cities they live in. They do not get vineyards. They do not get plantations. They do not get farms and gardens. None of that. But that was the big gross national product in Israel once upon a time. It was not high tech. It was agriculture. So how do they live? I said, well, Isha Hashem and Achalasa. They get the fire offerings of God. They get portions from the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the matnas kahuna, the gifts of kahuna, mahaves avurakayinim tachlif. It's like an exchange. Instead of getting a portion of the land of Israel, and once they have a portion of the land of Israel, then their minds are in business and their minds are in real estate and they're not doing their spiritual job anymore. When they have a job of being the clergy, focus on the clergy, nothing else. Your job, you have a responsibility to the people, you have a responsibility to the Beis HaMikdash. If you're worrying about your farm and your orchard or your plantation, not discharging your sacred duties properly. So therefore, nothing, they do not get anything from Peiros Eretz Yisrael. The produce of Israel, not theirs. Oh, how will they live? What do you mean? The nation provides. So the person says, one second. How exactly are these gifts going to work? After all, we have a halacha that says, chita achas peteres esakri, one grain of wheat, one bulb, can exempt an entire field. So how's the Levi going to live? How's the Kohen going to live? So, oh, Reb Kohen, here's a bulb, here's a grain. So what should I do with this grain? I got a family of kids to feed. Well, I'll figure it out. You're a Kohen. Make miracles. Can't you touch your whole family with like one bulb? No, not really, says the Kohen. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Can't help you. What did God do? He set the Kohen up for disaster. He said, you can't get a portion of the land of Israel, but you're going to get gifts from the people. But the gifts from the people are not sufficient. It doesn't provide for them. If you give one bulb, one piece of grain, how are you going to feed the whole family? Therefore, Rashi says, what do you think? It's not going to work? Of course it's going to work. Chachamim, Rabbi Seinu, our sages, Nasnu Bashir. They explained what the Torah meant. They meant to give gifts that are large enough to sustain the families of Kohanim. What's that? Echad Mishishim. And the very minimum, it's a little bit over, a little bit under one, just shy of 2%. But 2% of a farmer's yield is very significant. The farmer has thousands of bushels. He has thousands of bundles of grain. Thousands of bundles of grain, shy of 2%, that's still significant. And that's a kamos, that's an amount, which provides for the parnasa of the kohen. And now we see how exact Rashi is. If he took the time to give you details, thanks for sharing. There was a reason. Otherwise, the pshuta shel mikra, the simple interpretation, simply wouldn't work. I'll finish with the idea that each and every one of us can and should try to be a Levi. What does that mean? Dedicate yourself to Hashem's work. Ah, if you dedicate yourself to Hashem's work, how will the rest fall into place? Don't worry about it. It works out. The system works. You do your best, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. Hashem should help us that we should all be provided for. And this month of Elul should be one that is filled with good preparations for Hashanah Tevo Masuka, for Be'ezrat Hashem, a year that is filled with happiness, goodness, and sweetness. Amen.